This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes, the exercise of our faith pleases God, and except for the message of salvation, there is no more important a truth than this message of faith. Yet many Christians who know about and even exercise their faith are living a life far below what God's word promises. What is it about claiming something in faith that so many seem to be missing? In our series, Setting Higher Goals for Your Faith, Pastor Ray, taking a practical look at this issue, based on the Bible definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, concludes that faith, no matter how sincere, not coupled with a high level of hope, can only be a hopeless faith, accomplishing little. Understanding now how hope sets the goal and faith makes it a reality. Most would agree with Pastor that because Christians aren't dreaming big enough, they don't have a faith problem. They have a hope problem.
Coming out of the pandemic, I think one of the big lessons that I learned, because I'm a pastor and I'm observant and I'm try to stay in tune with my congregation and with the body of Christ at large, is that there was a huge faith failure. There really was. There was a huge faith failure. People lost their faith. They got into fear. Actually, some Christians are still into fear. And listen, I'm not downing any. Please understand that I am not making fun or picking on anybody or anything like that. You wouldn't tell your doctor when he told you, when he diagnosed the symptom, you wouldn't say, "You're picking on me. You're too hard." No, all he's doing is identifying the problem, your physical problem, and then trying to give you the proper prescription, medicine, whatever, to overcome that problem so that it's not an issue. It doesn't become a bigger issue in your life. Is that not right? Well, I as a pastor have to diagnose, you know, of course, this congregation because this is what I'm responsible for. But I also like to see it in, you know, the Christianity at large, what's going on. There was a huge, huge, huge faith failure. People were gripped by fear and some still are gripped by fear. And I feel sorry for those that are still gripped by fear. And again, it's not judgment, but it's an observation. It's a diagnosis as to where people's faith is. Now, people can love God with all of their heart. They can love God and they're saved and they're going to heaven and all of that is intact. But it does not mean that just because you love God that you are walking to the full potential and levels of faith that you need to walk in to overcome in this world. Amen. Is this not true? You see, your faith, as I've been saying and had been saying for months, is your faith can change the very direction of your life. Amen. Your faith can break through every obstacle that may come your way. Your faith can bring you to places you otherwise could never get to if you hadn't or if you hadn't used faith. Faith is what gets you to where you need to go. Faith is our connection to God. God has given the promises, but it's our faith that reaches towards those promises and says, "That'll be for me. I'll take it. Based upon your promise, I believe." So I have to continue, and I've got some different things that we're going to be talking about faith. So we're not necessarily going to be talking about the operation of faith, although this kind of melds with it. But today, what I want to talk to you about is a subject, an aspect of faith that many of you, if you've been part of this church, have heard this over and over and over again. And I apologize, I'm a very repetitive teacher. I repeat and I repeat and I repeat. And the reason why I repeat, sort of like my mother said, because I used to tell her, "You're always repeating yourself. You're telling me this. You already told me that. I know that." She would say, "Yeah, but you're not listening." Because if you were listening, you would listen and you would do what I'm telling you to do. So she'd have to repeat herself. She said, "Why do I have to repeat myself?" And the reason, because I wasn't listening. So you see, I feel like being nudged by the Holy Spirit that I've got to repeat myself. And I've got to get people back focused in on faith. Focused in on the power of God, on the possibilities of God. Get folks dialed back into, no matter what we've been through, rough times, hard times, whatever. You read your Bible, and you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, all you see are God's faithful men and women going through terrible challenges, but always ending up on their feet better than the way they went in. Blessed by God, protected by God, kept by God. All of these wonderful things because they were men and women of great faith. And we've got to get great faith back into the believers' hearts because fear is at an all-time high and is trying to drive faith far from you. And faith is what's going to get you to where you need to go. Faith is going to bring the good stuff into your life. Thank you for that big, resounding amen. That really is encouraging. Come on. All right. So today I'm going to repeat a message, but for the sake of maybe some newcomers, because we do have a lot of new people in our church. Maybe you've never heard this. And some of you probably have heard it if you've been around here. But I want to talk about the subject of hope. Amen. See, I witnessed with my own heart, my own eyes, how many people lost hope. How many people haven't been able to get their hope back? And you see, if you don't understand how hope and faith work together, amen, your faith is going to be hopeless. Amen. You're never going to get anywhere. It's never going to happen. Now, I want to start with one verse of scripture, which I think we'll start here, and then we'll get into some verses, and we'll talk about the subject of hope today a little bit, because it's a powerful, powerful message. Yes. It's powerful. As a matter of fact, I'm going to predict that some of you, if you will listen to what I'm saying today, that you will leave this house today, you will leave this church today with a brand new attitude about your future. Because I believe that so many of you and others are stuck. You're chasing your tail and you're stuck. And one of the reasons why you're stuck is because you're looking at nothing but what is before you. You're looking at what you're hearing by the news and through the news sources that you're listening to by other Christians that are maybe doubters and non-believers, or non-faith people. And what it's doing, it's eroding away at all of the wonderful possibilities you have. So I want to talk about hope. But let me give you this verse. Jeremiah, we all know this. Many of us know it. Jeremiah 29:11. Got to go back to it. This is what God says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. Don't tell me that the source of your trouble is coming from God. That's right. Amen. People tell me that all the time. Well, I guess, I'm going through this trial in my life. I guess God's trying to teach me something. God ain't trying to teach you nothing. That's right. It's the devil that's trying to whip your behind. That's right. It's the devil who's trying to mess up your faith walk. It's the devil that doesn't want you to get a faith walk going, because if you start walking by faith and you start fighting the fears in your life and you start fighting those things that have been holding you back and standing in your way, all of a sudden things are going to start to change. Amen. And the devil doesn't want change, because when things start to change because of your faith and your response to God, guess what? God gets the glory and the devil hates it. God gets the glory and the devil hates it. So he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now listen to the second part of this. To give you a future and a hope. Now, I don't know what you're all thinking about your future. Some of you look to your future and you see probably grim, a grim future or not such a... That's not the kind of future that God has planned for you. God says he's thinking thoughts of good. These are thoughts of peace. They're good thoughts. They're not evil thoughts. That your future has no evil in God's mind. Your future, God only sees something really good. And he's got something good for each and every one of us. Amen. But we've got to get to a level of faith in our lives that we begin to believe it for ourselves. He says, to give you a future and a hope. Yes. A future and a hope. Well, let me first of all define what the word hope means. God gave me this definition so many, many, many years ago, probably almost 40 years ago, when I first started out in ministry, and I was studying the subject of hope and faith and how they operate and how they're intertwined and interconnected, and you can't separate them. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And I wanted to know, what did hope, because my understanding of the word hope was always a negative connotation. I hope so. Well, we're hoping for the best. There was always negative attached to the word hope. How many of you would agree with me? Yes. How many of you have ever used the word that way? Yes. You know, you're not so sure about something. So when you're not sure, you say, well, I hope so. I hope so. And it's like almost painful. I certainly hope that I'm going to get better. I hope that, you know, things are going to change. I hope so. There was always a negative connotation attached to the word hope. So it was like hopeless. It really was. It was hopeless hope. And every time I heard the word hope, I always thought of negative things. There was nothing positive about the word hope. There was nothing definite about the word hope, the way that we use it in the world. Well, when I got to the Bible and I started studying and I started going into Bible dictionaries and word studies and started to really break down what the word hope as it's outlined in the Bible or presented to us in the Bible, I found a totally different story, which blew my socks off. No one had ever really used the word hope in this positive way. I found out that the word hope was a very powerful, absolutely dynamic, absolutely concrete word. The way the Bible uses the word hope, there is no doubt or unbelief or uncertainty in the word hope. And yet, even as we as Christians, we still use the word hope in a very hopeless way. We still do. But this word hope has none of that attached to it as it's presented to us from the Word of God. So I started to compile all these different words that meant or define the Bible word for hope. And this is what I came up with. Hope is the joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. It's the joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. When I'm in true Bible hope, I look to my future with nothing but joyfulness, expectancy. When I'm looking at my life, I only see good. My hopes are high for my future, I'm saying that there's only good coming by. It's confident. It's full of expectation that God's got something better for me tomorrow than I'm experiencing today. You see, now, along the journey, there can be some battles. There can be some warfares. You know, we were going through the COVID crisis, you know, the plandemic. I call it the plandemic. When we were going through that, you know, I had to keep my focus not on what we were going through at the moment, but the future. God, you have a joyful, confident, favorable expectation for me. I need to know that I know that we're going to get not only through this, but we're going to get so far beyond it, and it's not going to affect my future at all. It's going to have no effect on my future. Even though it looked like everything was falling apart and businesses are closing and churches are closing and finances are crashing in, all this stuff is going on and people are, you know, dealing with issues and getting sick and so on and so forth. All through that, as a Christian, we should never, ever, ever for one second lose our hope, our joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. And they kept saying all this kind of stuff. Oh, it's going to get worse and millions of people are going to die. And, oh, you better run and get a shot and get another shot and get another shot. And I'm not down. And look, if that's what you want to do, that's your business. But I'm just telling you the whole story, how things went on. Fear and more fear, and wear a mask and then wear two masks and then wear three masks. And, you know, put a shield over your head and put eyeglasses. You might as well just put a whole hazard mask suit on. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of that stuff. But, you know, it got a little wearing after a while and it was eroding, and it still is eroding away at people's faith and their hope. And you know, through that whole thing, it was like, you know, just very, you know, people were like just becoming so hopeless. Like, is this ever going to change? But for the Christian who knows God and understands the Bible and understands who you are in Christ and the authority that you have, the power that you have that comes out of your mouth, that comes through the Word of God and comes from the Word of God. For a Christian, it doesn't matter what you're in or what's going on around you. In the midst of that, you're standing there with joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. Doesn't matter what you're going through, because you understand what true Bible hope is. You are a person of God. You are a woman, a man of God, or woman of God. And you know that for me, my future is joyful, confident, and full of expectation of good things to come. So when we use the word hope, there's no negativity, there's no doubt, there's no unbelief in it. It's a very faith-filled word. And you see, the word hope or hope itself has to work together with faith. So you see, you can say, I have faith, but there are so many people that have what I classify as hopeless faith. Because you claim you're having faith and you're struggling in your faith, but you don't, it's like going nowhere because you really don't have a hope. So let's do this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we were there already in this, you know, a couple of times, but let's go back there and let's just lay this down so I can explain it carefully and we can continue to look into this. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, okay, big faith chapter, and it opens up like this. It says, now faith is the substance, ready? Hold on to your seats, of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, let's just stop there for a minute. If you're going to have faith, you have to have hope. Because you cannot separate hope from faith. Faith and hope work together. Faith and hope are interconnected and you cannot separate them from one another. So it's not a matter of just struggling to have faith. You must have hope. As a matter of fact, a lot of people struggle in their faith, and I'll tell you why. Struggling in your faith, because you have no hope. Amen. You have no joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. And you see, this is how it works. Hope sets the goal. Faith accomplishes the goal that's set. Amen. If you don't have hope, listen to me, listen very carefully. If you don't have a joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have desires and wants and where you want to be and where you want to go and what you want to accomplish and all, if you don't have a goal, a hope, your faith has nowhere to go. It has nothing to accomplish. So it's just aimless faith. Hope sets the destination. Hope sets the direction. Hope is the target. Hope says, you know, this is where I want to be in life. I want to accomplish this. I want to own that. I want to be at this level. I want to get this done. I want to be here. Whatever it be. It could be natural. It could be spiritual. It could be all of it. Hope sets the goal. Now faith has something to accomplish. But if you don't set the goal, your faith has nowhere to go. Let me give you an illustration. I think this is such a powerful, simple illustration to understand. All right? Now, somewhere in this building, there are two pieces of equipment. One is called a furnace, and one is called a thermostat. Now, a furnace does two things here in the Northeast. We have the furnace, and it's too difficult to explain, but the furnace operates in two different ways, right? So one, in the winter, it generates heat. In the summer, it generates air conditioning. You flip a switch and the air conditioning goes on. So now we have this little box called a thermostat that's here in the building. So now the furnace was built to accomplish whatever the thermostat says. Now, if the thermostat is there on the wall and you don't put anything in a number in that thermostat, the furnace sits in the back of your house or in the basement or wherever it is, even though it was created to accomplish a desired temperature, even though it has the ability to accomplish whatever temperature you set, if you don't set the temperature, that piece of equipment sits there dormant. It cannot accomplish anything until a demand is put on it. Amen. That's what the thermostat does. Now, it's amazing. When you go over to the thermostat, it's simply amazing. You click on 70 degrees, and all of a sudden, click, click, The machine turns on and cool air starts to blow through the vents. Or hot air in the winter starts to blow. It's an amazing thing how it works. And it's an amazing thing how your faith and hope work together when you start to thrust out vision, when you start to thrust out goals, when you start to thrust out desires that you want from God. It's amazing how your faith will have direction and your faith will kick in and start to accomplish something. And you see, the thing is, this is the problem. A lot of times people set things out. They've got a hope, but because there are some rough spots along the way, a couple of bumps in the road, so to speak, a little bit of warfare, do you think the devil's going to let you just get your hopes and desires without a little warfare? Because there are some bumps along the way, people kill their hope. They take their eye off of the goal. And they lose their balance. They lose. They start looking here. And that's what the enemy does. You got your sights fixed. I throw out my hope. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish. This is, God, I'm believing you. Prosperity is mine. Prosperity is the reward of the rich, the righteous. You will provide all of my needs. I'm coming out of poverty. I'm coming out of brokenness. I'm coming out of debt. I'm coming out of insufficiency. I'm going to get that house that I want. You set the goal. That's your hope. It's out there. It's not yet. Hope isn't yet. Hope is the future. Now I put my sight on that hope and I fix my faith on it and I refuse. I refuse to turn to the left or to the right, but the devil will throw everything in your place, in your way, to try to get you distracted from your hope. Things get tough. Times get lean. Oh, maybe I miss God. Maybe I can't have that. Maybe this is all. Maybe. All doubt and unbelief just come and fill your brain, trying to get your focus off of your hope. And this is where a lot of people lose it. This is where a lot of people, as a matter of fact, I'll be so bold to just say something right here, right now. Some of you need to resurrect your hope. You need to resurrect your hope. Resurrect your desire. Put it out there. And use your faith. Let your faith accomplish now. Amen. So going back to the Word of God, he says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, I like to say it this way, faith gives substance to my hope. Faith makes my hope a reality. But if I don't have a hope, my faith doesn't know what to accomplish. See, all my life, I've done this, and I'm going to encourage some of you to do this. I wrote down goals. I put them down in a notebook, where I wanted to be, what I wanted to accomplish, what I was believing God for. Some of you don't even know what you're believing God for. Maybe some of you aren't even believing God for anything because you're one of those que sera, sera people. Well, if you want to be, you know, que sera, sera, like a cork on the sea just getting driven all over the place, no, you can't live life that way. You got to know, what do you want to accomplish? Some of you... Dear God, some of you, you've been thinking, wow, maybe I should go back to school and broaden my education, you know, but I don't feel like I can. I don't know if I then. And every single day, do it. Set it out there as a hope. This is what I want to accomplish. I want to go back to school. I want to get that degree. I want a better job. I want to go deeper into this field of education or this field of mine through education. You've got to set out a goal. Otherwise, your faith has nowhere to go.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.